Blog Talk Radio.
Welcoming you to the LL Research Radio program In the Now, Q&A with Carla and crew. Today is Tuesday, December 3rd, 2013. Carla L. Ruckert is an author, mystic, seeker, and primary channel for LL Research. The crew in the title refers to those of us at the LL Center. Gary and I, devoted seekers of the Law of One, manage LL from the home office. And Jim McCarty is out of town this week, and he will not be joining us today. LL Research is a nonprofit organization dedicated to freely sharing spiritually oriented information and fostering community, and toward this end has two websites, the archive website of llresearch.org and the community website bringforth.org. That's the number four. Together, they offer over 1,300 channeling transcripts, 11 publications, the Law of One material, interviews, speeches, forums, blogs, chat rooms, and more. We will be discussing questions that come from you. If you would like to ask a question live on air, please call 646-595-2294 and press the 1 key when prompted. Again, the number is 646-595-2294. If interested in submitting a question when we're not on the air, please visit our show's webpage at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. When submitting questions, please remember that this is a Law of One Q&A. Try to keep your questions as spiritually oriented as possible. Again, I'm Austin, and we're talking to Carla L. Ruckert and the home crew of LL Research. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing well.
As am I. And Jim is doing fine, too. Jim is in Nebraska celebrating his mom's 96th birthday. Her birthday was yesterday, the 2nd. And she asked a question, which would be a good question for us here. She said, "Why am I still here?" And I thought that was a good question.
It would be. We're going to miss Jim this week.
Yeah.
Go ahead with our opening riff here. I have a quote from Kuo from a session on May 20th, 2005. "When you observe a crystal or a gem, you are content simply to gaze upon its beauty. You can see the way the facets of the gem catch the light, and you can see the beauty radiating from those points of light and from the true colors evident in the gem or the crystal. You do not demand of this crystal that it do something, but rather you behold its beauty, and it, in its own way, changes you for having beheld it, sure of your own being as well. You have come among the people of earth to be, to breathe the air, to open your heart, and to gaze with love and compassion upon the world that you see before you in this moment. All that you are is gathered together in your heart and is radiating from you as the light within the lighthouse radiates out into the air, into the atmosphere, to greet all who come near it and enjoy the beauty of its radiance. The one known as Jesus the Christ said that it was a good thing for entities to allow their light to shine before humankind, and not to hide it under a shade. Above all, my sister, we would encourage you to do just that, to let your light and your truth shine before all those with whom you come into contact. We are not encouraging you to share ideas or other items of belief, for we would not be encouraging you then to be, but to do. We simply encourage you to find your way into your open heart and to do the work that is necessary in order to keep that heart open. Essence is locked up in this very sacred space. When you awaken in the morning, before you even rise from bed, We would encourage you to center into that heart, that sacred space within you where the Creator itself dwells, to touch into the very center of your being, and at each point during the day when you feel yourself being pulled away from that center, when you can and when it is convenient, take a moment, gently and firmly, to move your consciousness back into its center and let it shine.
Federation words. And I wonder how in the world they could apply to me. How could I be a gem or a crystal? I do wake up in the morning and before I get out of bed, pray for the day and set my intention for the day to share love and light, to share the Creator as best I can all day and set my intention to do that. Sure how successful I ever am. I'm not ever positive that I've done a perfect job. Sometimes I can feel the energy flowing through me, just flowing, and it feels so good, so marvelous, and so joyful. And I really do have a happy heart. I can touch into that and just feel so good and so happy. And there's really no reason for it. It's just, I think, a gift that I was given a long time ago. I don't know if it was before this incarnation or sometime during this incarnation. But I don't know how to encourage somebody else to do that, except to say that We really need to work on the concept of who we are. When somebody comes up to you, party or just in general, what do they ask you when they're trying to get to know you? They say, well, what do you do? They don't say, who are you? Or how do you be? And yet, in truth, if they could but ask that question, and if we could but answer it, I think we'd all be on much firmer ground with each other, much, much more solid awareness of each other than we are with the smile of social intercourse on our face, saying, well, I write, you know, I channel, I do these things. It's not, doesn't have a thing in the world to do with who I really am, or why anybody would want to know me. And yet, I do the same thing to other people. I don't know how to penetrate that lifelong training. We've all been trained from birth to relate to each other by, how are you, what do you do, and then the person puts one of his social intercourse smiles on his face, and I'm I use that term just to indicate that they're not real, that they're, you know, sort of the smile of greasing the wheels of society, and you come forth with the best that you know how to come, you know, talk about what you do. And if you're lucky enough to be able to get something of yourself into that, something real, then you're a lucky dog. I have never really learned how to do that. It really takes an understanding person that can break through our culture's insistence on doing things as a measure of who we are. Conversation, go. Well, it's hard even to imagine. You just look at each other and hope that you're getting it right. So hope that your understanding goes past the surface, and that in follow-up questions you can begin to penetrate into those wonderful open hearts that are all around us, and penetrate into that happiness, that joy that people feel, and say, thank you for the way you make me feel. You make me feel really good. You must have a lot of joy in your life. When someone says that to me, I just am so thrilled. It just lifts me up, because I've been able to penetrate past the first layers of who am I, into those incredibly important layers of what is my sense of things. How do I see other people? How do I see the person I'm talking to? Oh, when that happens, when you can actually talk back and forth to someone who's willing to talk about what they see in you really is. Yet it happens so seldom. It happens more frequently as life has gone on in my life, because of the fact that I've written some books, and people have gotten to know me through those writings and channelings. I've done a lot of channeling, especially the Ra work from 81 to 83. Who I really am comes forth more through that than through me just trying to verbal on about myself. So, I hope that you are able to see yourself not as this diff in various ways and does various things, but as this being that moves into her open heart and tries to stay there every day. I wish you luck at doing that. I think it's one of the hardest things I've ever challenged myself to do, and I know I'm only a beginner. Thanks, Austin.
Thank you, Carla. We can go ahead and get to our first question now. It is from Jane S. She asks, should the idea of only offering the comforts of sleep to sleepers also apply to wanderers and starseeds? I have some context to help guide her question. She's referring to the part in the raw material where Don and Ra were discussing the other entities on Venus at the time of Ra's incarnation in third density and how Ra served them. So I'll read a couple questions right now to help give context. Don asks, what was the attitude just prior to harvest of those harvestable entities of Ra with respect to those who were obviously unharvestable? And Ra says, those of us which had the gift of polarity felt deep compassion for those who seemed to dwell in darkness. This description is most apt as ours was a harshly bright planet in the physical sense. There was every attempt made to reach out with whatever seemed to be needed. However, those upon the positive path have the comfort of companions, and we of Ra spent a great deal of our attention upon the possibilities of achieving spiritual and metaphysical adepthood or work in Indigo Ray through the means of relationships with other selves. Consequently, that the compassion for those in darkness was balanced by the appreciation of the light. And Don asks, would Ra's attitude towards the same unharvestable entities be different at this nexus than at the time of harvest of? And Ra says, not substantially. To those who wish to sleep, we could only offer those comforts designed for the sleeping. Service is only possible to the extent it is requested. We were ready to serve in whatever way we could. This still seems satisfactory as a means of dealing with other selves in third density. It is our feeling that to be each entity which one attempts to serve is to simplify the grasp of what service is necessary or possible. So Jane is asking whether or not wanderers here on Earth who might be asleep should only be offered the comforts of sleeping as Ra offered to their unharvestable companions in third density.
Well, if they didn't just quit, they tried everything they could think of first. And I think that it would behoove all of us to see everybody as a soul and to allow for the possibility, no matter how unlikely, that that soul might be open to something, anything. I think it's always, and golly, you know, if somebody like that asks a question that has possibilities, then I think we ought to go in and not with a clumsy, heavy-footed tread, but with every ounce of energy in our bodies to can offer spiritual use on that topic, on whatever's been asked. So it's certainly a compassionate thing to let somebody, person wants, then okay. But I don't think we should ever give up on anybody, because they are all souls. They are all part of the Creator. What do you think about that, Gary?
has a great intention here. It seems that her thinking says that if someone is perceived to be both A, sleeping, and B, a wanderer, why not help to stimulate the awakening? One problem with this scenario is that it rests on three major assumptions. One, that the other self is a wanderer. Two, that the other self is sleeping. And three, that person A is capable of knowing these things about person B. I think that we are lucky if we're able to intuit our own soul's origin through the murky waters of third density. But I think it's likely next to impossible to know of the origin of another soul. We can certainly speculate, of course. There are those in my own life that I feel strongly are sleeping wanderers. But to take action in that regard flirts on the boundary between service to self and service to others,
uh-huh.
in my opinion. Why? Because the negative polarity calls itself to service. Rather than awaiting the request for service, those of negative orientation determine that they know what is best for an other self and subsequently seek to push their own agenda and program, quote, for the other's benefit. How many of fundamentalist religious orientation know with certainty that those unsaved and unredeemed souls are going to hell or will not be permitted entry into the glorious afterlife? How those of that orientation hope to help save and redeem each who hasn't moved through the rituals of their particular creed. And then action follows that thinking. Evangelicals and proselytizers seek to convert others and bring them into the fold. There is the perception among the evangelical that the other self is lost without and in need of that which the evangelical possesses. Even though the other self likely doesn't recognize this inadequacy and may even reject the offered service, the evangelical, possessing the greater vision, nevertheless moves forward without regard for what the other self does or does not want, without regard for what the other self actually needs. Which is not to say that this is the case with Jane's question, just that this mindset of I know what another needs, even if they don't, can easily lend itself to what I would consider negatively oriented service, or at least not positively oriented service. Better it is to listen with sensitivity and empathy to the other self and offer what is requested and needed. That, of course, isn't always straightforward. You may intuit a need from the other that isn't precisely articulated. Or you may, in fact, be able to meet a need of the others that the other wasn't quite aware that they had. But with each step in that particular dance, great care and concern for their other selves could write to carve a path of their own choosing. Even if that path is one of sleeping, must always be respected. I think that's what Carla was hitting on, too. Perhaps a particular entity needs and or wants to be asleep. But nevertheless, like Carla was saying, you can always drop seeds. And you can always shine your own awakened light, regardless of the depth and quantity of sleep around you. Perhaps that effortless radiance of self might just help to crack open the eyes of another.
Gary, I will never forget the time. It was way back over on Douglas Boulevard. It was in the 70s. And I had my Bible out. As you have seen, various generations of my Bibles come and go. They get really worn out. I mean, I wear my Bibles out. Jim and I, my husband and I read them daily at morning offering. And when we finish going through the Bible, we start over. And when we finish again, we start over again. And we've done the same thing with this since I was 12 years old. And the same thing with the Law of One. We've been reading it, all five books of it, over and over and over again. Still don't believe we've penetrated parts of it entirely, but we try. And we just keep it in our thoughts, in our heads, you know. We keep the memory of it going each day in our morning offering. It's part of things. We meditate. We sing. I sing. I laugh because Jim doesn't exactly sing.
He does have a mean row, row, row your boat.
He does a marvelous job of singing that one. And that's his go-to song. If he has to sing, that's what he sings. And let's face it, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, dream. I mean, that's a very spiritual song. But at any rate, one day, these two, what do you call the ones that have their Sabbath on the Saturday, I think, or they're Mormons?
Orthodox Jews, maybe? I don't know.
No, they weren't Jews. Anyway, here they came, you know, with their great desire and their burning hope of saving me. And we sat down, and this lady put her purse on my Bible, which was, at the time, I'd been reading it since I was in college, so it was really beat up at this point. It was almost time for me to get another Bible because it was falling apart. Anyway, she puts her book on, her purse on the book, and explains to me about how important it is to read the Bible and other things, to read, yeah, it's Mormons. It is Mormons, because to read the Book of Mormon. And I'm going, thank you very much. That's very interesting. And not defending myself or trying to win over on that person, but just welcoming that person in for everything I knew, you know. And the woman left, and she never realized that she was sitting there with her purse on my Bible and that I had probably read it more often in my life than she ever thought of reading it, because, you know, from age 12 to about age 38 was when I lived on Douglas Boulevard. So just a long time and a beat up old book. So anyway, it always strikes me funny as to how they are so sure of themselves and want so much to give you what they've got. And they may not realize that you have the same thing to give back to them. And it would be very difficult to get that through to them, through all of the defenses that they have built up. Their way is the only way, and so forth. I just thought I'd tell that story because I will never, ever forget that.
I think that your description of that moment presents a really striking image, symbolic image of the dynamic and the relationship between the proselytizer and the one the proselytizer is proselytizing to.
Mm-hmm.
That being, she brings in her baggage of her own past, her own ideas of the world, etc., and plops that baggage right down on your own book, on your own path,
mm-hmm.
totally discarding and obscuring anything that you may have learned on your own path and any of your own preferences, and says, I'm here to tell you what you need to do, what you need to see, etc. And it's captured in that one moment, her keeping that purse on your own Bible.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
So a great insight. I've got a couple things to address with Jane's question. I do think that she's coming from a great place, because it seems like wanderers have more at stake than maybe regular third density entities. They came here on a specific mission, and they have this chance of being caught up in karma and having to reincarnate through third density and learn third density lessons again. So I can see why she might be worried and maybe place them in a different category than normal third density entities, because their situation is a little bit different. But I do think it's pretty much impossible to really serve beyond what is requested, because if you try to serve somebody in a way that they aren't open to, it could cause distortion in different ways, because you don't really know exactly how they will be receptive to it, and you don't know whether you might be causing more harm than good if you try to push onto them some sort of idea that might cause them to reject it in the long run instead of accept it. It seems like some wanderers already have mechanisms built into their incarnation that could help them awaken based on their own distortions, and it's just impossible to know exactly how they plan to awaken. And I have one of my favorite quotes from Ra that is sort of pertinent to the situation. In session 17, Ra says, another self cannot learn or teach, learn enlightenment, but can only teach, learn information, inspiration, or a sharing of joy, of mystery, of the unknown that makes the other self reach out and begin the seeking process that ends in a moment. But who can know when an entity will open the gate to the present?
That is good.
Yeah, precisely. It's a great quote.
Does anybody else have anything to add to Jane S.'s question?
Just that I like that you raised the point that attempting to serve someone who hasn't requested it could be completely counterproductive. It could cause them to reject and move in a way that maybe retards their own awakening that would have organically and naturally happened otherwise.
I think you're right. It could harden them.
Yeah,
so
right.
That they would be, oh yeah, I've heard that before, and wouldn't even give a listen to the next person that had something like that to say.
All right. Our next question is from Felix B. on the Facebook Law of One Raw Material Study Group. Felix asks, what sort of visualizations / thoughts or exercises could one attribute to the strengthening the yellow and orange rays?
I dare to begin, but I certainly am not a person that knows the answer altogether. I think that every day you have to start over. You have to start with the red ray. And you have to balance that red ray. You have to ask yourself, well, what issues did I have today that had to do with my sexuality, or that had to do with how I feel about life? You know, do I love life? Was I thinking of suicide today? You know, that question needs to be focused on. And if it looks like red ray is clear, you feel good about your sexuality, whatever it may be, and you feel good about being here on planet Earth right now, then you move on to personal relationships, the orange ray. Well, for one thing, your relationship with yourself. How do you feel about yourself today? Have I gotten into a wrangle with myself? Have I started picking on myself, criticizing myself for things that I've criticized myself for a million times? and I don't need to hear that again. But what do? I think of it again. It comes again. It's habitual. It's like I haven't been able to stop that feeling of unworthiness or the feeling that I'm not good enough or whatever. And then you think about the next part of Orange Ray, which is your relationships with other people that don't have to do with marriage or anything, but just have to do with you and a friend, you and a lover, you and somebody at work, you and somebody on your team. And you ask yourself, well, was there a difficulty today? Did I get into a difficulty? Was I angry with one of my teammates or with my lover or with my, you know, with whoever that other person may be? And if so, was I able to work it out? If you're angry with somebody, that is not a bad thing. If you're angry with somebody and don't try to work it out, that is what I would... When you have a problem with another person, you desperately, I mean, more than anything, you need to work it out. You need to be able to say, well, I understand where you're coming from. Do you understand where I'm coming from? And just talk it out until you both can look at each other and grin and say, well, I still like you. We may disagree on this, but you're my friend. You know, you're my lover. You're my teammate, and I'm glad. But if you haven't, then you need to work with that in your mind by bringing it up. And by bringing up the opposite, you know, bringing up the fact that you haven't worked on it, then bringing up how it would be to heal it. And in your mind, you know, heal it. And then hold those two, healed and the unhealed, hold those two as two sides of a coin. This is two sides of a coin of one issue. And see the balance. See how you can balance this. And once you've been able to balance all of these orange ray, red ray, orange ray, yellow ray things, tumble into your open heart. Your heart's just waiting for you to fall in there. It's already open. It's already full of love. The Creator is waiting for you there. It's a wonderful place. Oh. And what holds you from it? Just the restrictions that you give yourself of energy, you know, you restrict the energy to your heart when you haven't balanced these things and worked them out, so that you can't get enough energy into your open heart to feel that love and to feel that joy that is your inheritance, that it's your right, it's your entitlement. And it just takes a certain amount of work, and it takes a certain amount of work every day of your life. When you're thinking, well, how can I strengthen the yellow ray? How can I strengthen the orange ray? That's not really the way to focus on that question, because that's not the whole self. Once you get into the green ray, the open heart, then the world is yours to command. You can work as you will on the upper rays, the blue ray of clear communication and honesty, communication with others that's channeling or teaching. And those indigo ray things that you can work on, like journaling and meditating and just sharing paths of radiation of light, just sitting and allowing light to flow through you. Now, you can take these things, man. I mean, when I was in college and we were really new at this, I can remember a couple of my friends in the group, in the Louisville group, had a tendency to go sit down in whatever environment he was in, close his eyes and go into meditation. This is not the way to communicate with other people. You can't sit there with your eyes closed and communicate with other people. It's like, come on, George, move it. We're here. And yet, I see the point. I mean, I see the desire to, as much of that meditation into the self as possible, because it feels so good. But you have to live a balanced life. You can't simply live an inner life to the exclusion of living, you know, an outer life with friends and family and so forth. But you don't just open the orange ray and go, okay, man, I've got it now. I am boogieing. I am there. Orange ray is balanced. And then you go on to yellow ray and you work on that until one day you say, okay, I've done that. I'm balanced with my yellow ray. And then you move into the open heart. Now, you cannot say, all right, I'm always in my open heart because I've gotten these things worked out. It's just not true. You can't hold it. It's not a human ability to hold that balance. At some point, you're going to block your energy and the ability to move into the open heart is going to be self-limiting. So you have to go back and start over. And it seems like it's not fair that you should be able to do it just once and have it be done forever. But that's just not the game. You know, the game is to be willing to do this work of your life, so that you are always disciplining your personality and accepting the fact that there is some work involved in opening the heart and in keeping it open. And a lot of times, if you do a good enough job in the morning, just a little bit of meditation, just a moment's reaching for that place will get you there again. But it's not what you'd call usual. Anybody else?
Yeah, I agree completely with what you say about the idea of strengthening yellow and orange rays. I think there's a common theme among discussing chakras, that there are visualizations you can do to sort of bring energy into particular rays and make them stronger. And I think that it's possible to do that, but I'm not sure if that's the most balanced approach. I think that the energy rays are strengthened by our experiences and interactions in our lifetime. and not through inner work. I think that visualizations or meditation lend themselves much more to simply balancing and going through the day, like you were talking about, becoming aware of the emotions or the situations where you felt you might have had issues in these rays, and bringing acceptance, understanding, and integration to these issues, which then will allow you to go out into the world and interact in certain ways that might then strengthen the rays and might give you a stronger energy body through interaction. But I think balance is the first step and key into being able to do that.
I think that this work is undertaken through, like both of you guys are saying, in the experience of the moment, in the experience of the day, as you interact with your environment, with yourself, with others. And that's where the rubber really hits the road, and where change, or where the catalyst for change is provided. I think at the same time there is a helpful component of visualization, in addition to or to complement that experience in the world that can be undertaken. Visualizations specifically for yellow and orange ray, I don't have a definitive answer from my own experience per se, but if I, in attempting to answer the question, I came up with a couple general ideas, which are totally in keeping with what both of you guys have just said, Austin and Carla. And that's that if you do want to do a visualization for the opening and strengthening and balancing of yellow ray, Ra says in session 102 that each entity must, in order to completely unblock yellow ray, love all which are in relationship to it, with hope only of the other selves, joy, peace, and comfort. So taking that, pulling that idea inward to do that inner work, if you're going to form that into a visual, a visualization, I would suggest then picturing with your eyes closed, you being in harmony with other people, you hugging anyone who you can think of, especially those with whom there's conflict, you praying for the highest and best of other people, and you, to whatever extent this is visual for you, see yourself with the other person vibrating a field of love and think only of their highest and best, of the peace that exists between you two. Orange ray, same basic idea, but more applied to the personal identity. Perhaps one could visualize themselves filled with the Creator's love and light, seeing and perceiving and feeling the rightness of yourself and the rightness of everything about who you are, including, like Carla was saying earlier, starting with your sexuality. And like Carla said, it's an ongoing, never-ending work. You need to continually return to that work of balancing and opening the lower three rays. But I think that work, as one advances along the path, consumes less of the attention and time because of that aspect that Ra described, crystallization of the energy centers. The more one regularly does the work, the more one disciplines one's energies, the more those chakras behave in regular patterns to the extent without the need to constantly do maintenance work, because a lot of that has been done and set in stone, so to speak, except in this case set in crystalline structure. That's just my thought on the matter. And finally, a good visualization for the health of the whole chakra system, yellow and orange included, is, I would think, to follow Ra's four general exercises that they gave for the reader of the book, wherein they say exercise one, see love in the moment, I'm paraphrasing, and exercise two, see the self, look in the mirror, see the self as the creator. Exercise three, look about the self, see the creation as the creator. And exercise four, kind of fuzzy. I know they talk about meditation and prayer and contemplation as necessary prerequisites.
I think that the exercise 3 was look upon other selves and see the creator, and exercise 4 is look upon the creation.
Oh, look. Okay, so 2 was self, 3 was others, 4 was creation.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great visualization for the health and balance of every, and activation and opening of everything. That's it for me.
All right. We have a few minutes left. We can address this question pretty quickly, I think. We have a question from Doug Kay on the Facebook Law of One Raw Material Study Group. He asks, is there any channeled information that LL staff feel give clarity to what is healthy to eat? What water is safe for us to drink? Dolores Cannon's material suggests that beef and pork are not healthy in any quantity. Any comments on that?
Well, I know when Don asked that question about me, because I was having a lot of health difficulties at the time. They said, well, you know, for the most part, we'd rather that you not eat meat. But some bodies just require red meat, and this particular body does. So you may find it unfortunate, but we'd recommend eating red meat. Then they went on to say that whatever you eat, try to make it as fresh and local as possible. You know, fresh, nothing done to it, nothing diddled with it, you know, trying to get at it before the government pumps it full of whatever it takes to make it look better in the store and all that kind of stuff. So they just recommend eating healthy food, food that is useful to you. And, you know, the way to approach it is that if you feel strongly about this issue, try not eating meat and try reading everything you can on what you do when you don't eat meat. You know, what you can do with beans, for instance. There's all kinds of protein in beans. There's all kinds of protein in various vegetables. And see if that does it for you. And if it doesn't do it for you, but it, you know, then see what white meat will do for you. See if chicken, for instance, as opposed to pork or beef. See if you like that. And just try to be as sensitive to your own body as possible. And don't listen to any one particular person and his or her way of believing as much as you listen to your own body.
Before I respond, I want to say that we may go over our hour. In responding to this question, and if you happen to be listening live, the downloadable version, which is available like pretty much immediately after this show is over, will contain the audio beyond the hour mark. So to respond to Doug's question, I don't think that the Confederation placed any prohibitions on food that I'm aware of. To quote what Ra responded to Don regarding Don's question about dietary matters for the instrument, Ra says, firstly, we underline and emphasize that this information is not to be understood literally, but as a link or a psychological nudge for the body and the mind and the spirit. Thus, it is the care and respect for the self that is the true thing of importance. In this light, we may iterate the basic information given for this instrument's diet. The vegetables, the fruits, the grains, and to the extent necessary for the individual metabolism, the animal products. These are those substances showing respect for the self. So what I take out of that is exactly what Ra underlined and emphasized, that being that the most important aspect about diet is that it expresses respect and care for the self. Certainly there's very physical components to diet that interact with very physical aspects of our body that may move outside of the realm of is this respectful or not respectful to me. They may operate according to the laws of chemicals on their own. But by and large, again, the important thing is respect and care for yourself. You desire to give that which nourishes and supports and feeds and honors and builds and strengthens your body. And like Carla was saying, with a sensitivity towards what your body may need or not need. It's very subjective and unique. But that Ra names a category of food stuff that expresses respect and care for the self necessarily implies that there is an opposite category of foodstuffs that do not quite express respect. So I would guess that within that category, and I'm speaking very generally and broadly, may include things like junk food or heavily sugared food or foods high in saturated fats or basically anything you would get at a state fair. But that's not a hard and fast rule. It's just my guesstimation about what category of not caring for yourself might include. And that's it for me.
I think that pretty much covers it. Anything else to add, Carla?
No, I really don't. I think Gary nailed it when he said that you show respect for your body. You listen to your body. You listen very carefully. And you do what your body is calling for, always being aware that the less you can eat of red meat, the better.
All right. Before we go, I'd like to mention that it's the time of the year that LL Research reaches out to all of you for support. We're in the midst of our donation drive and would like to ask if you find use in any of our services or information LL Research offers, would you please consider donating? Donations are the sustaining element of LL Research, and your support enables us to continue our efforts and service for everyone. You can visit www.llresearch.org and go to the home page to view a PDF of our donation letter, or you can go directly to store.bringforth.org. That's the number 4th. To donate from our store there. All donations over $50 will have the option of receiving a free copy of the DVD, What on Earth? Inside the Crop Circle Mystery. Thank you for your consideration. You've been listening to LL Research's In the Now Q&A with Carla and crew. If you've enjoyed the show, please visit our websites llresearch.org and bringforth.org. Thanks so much for listening, and a special thanks to those of you who submitted questions. If you'd like to submit a question for us before the next show, please read the instructions on our page at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. Have a wonderful week. We'll be here next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll talk to you then. So